Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody, and let me greet you with the controversial greeting of Happy Halloween. Hi, it's Halloween, and welcome to New Life. And joining me, two people that are not in costume, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop.
How do you know, Steve?
Well, he sees it on the TV.
I am wearing orange.
Yeah, but, and yes. Me too, kind of weird color.
Yeah, I like that color.
Goal. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you some fun facts to know. Here you go. Candy corn was originally called chicken feed. I have no idea why. Are you aware that trick-or-treating comes from a thing called souling? Anybody know about that? Mm-mm. It's from the Middle Ages. It's weird, definitely weird. The most lit jack-o'-lanterns on display are 30,000 of them are on display, and that's over in New Hampshire. You know, there's just not a lot of good stuff here. The Day of the Dead should really be called Days of the Dead, and I don't even want to talk about dead. I don't like dead. Michael Myers' mask was actually a William Shatner mask in one of the horror movies there. That's fabulous to know. Here's the thing that we like to talk about. We like to talk about celebrating autumn.
Mm-hmm.
We also like to talk about the fun of dressing up in costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with
being
that.
Being imaginative,
but
right?
But we've never creative. Allowed any evil costume
right.
dressing up or anything like that. And we also, as we say, don't think we ought to go around dressed up like Mary and Joseph. I don't think that counters the whole thing. But it's really a tough thing because there is evil in this world, and we don't want to do anything to minimize evil, you know, or to make it like it's acceptable or something. And sometimes that could be the message of Halloween. Anyway, hope you have some fun with your kids, whatever it is.
Meet your neighbors. Know. It's a good time to meet neighbors.
Yeah, please do. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You need some help. I'm going to go right to the phones. Here we go. And Angela's calling from Boise, Idaho. KBXL is the station. How are you? How's it going?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah. What's happening?
I have a quick question. Is it rape if there's no physical force, but everything else? Pretty much as written about it.
Okay. I think there are degrees of rape. And I think the bottom line is this word consent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you did something or someone did something to you, and at no point did you give consent, then it's probably some form of abuse or rape. So you're saying without...
So if you keep saying no, if you keep saying no, but there was no physical force on the other, and you still don't listen, then that is rape?
Well, it could be.
Well, it could be.
Could be. It would take some kind of action that would be against your consent.
And so you'd need to, on that account, you'd need to talk to either an attorney, or you would report it, and you would ask the police officer, do you think that this is rape, or is this something else under some other category based on the state that you live in? We'll talk about this more right after this.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Angela, and she was involved in a situation. She didn't give her consent. She kept saying no. And Jill, you're going to lead us
here. Well, Angela, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about how you found yourself in this situation and how you felt, you know, going into it, in the midst of it. Give us a little bit more information, because there's the legal aspect that you're going to have to explore, but we want to hear more from you on how you felt.
Well, it really started, let me just pull over.
Okay. I know, it's a painful thing to be taken advantage of in any form.
Mm-hmm. It really started 6 months prior with somebody else that had raped me, and I never had an experience like this in my life before. I was I didn't have sex with anybody but my ex-husband from 12 years ago, and I wanted to keep that pure until the day I would marry a new partner. And it was something that happened with somebody that I knew and trusted and was very clear about where I was standing on the issue. But and that did first happen with physical force, but I was resisting. And I do thank God that even though that it was only short, because that man realized that he did something wrong, and he stopped, and it made it, I could feel the remorse in him, so it helped me to kind of
to forgive
get
him
over it. But yeah. I still blocked it out.
Okay,
I didn't know what the heck. I was feeling like I was doing something to make it happen, even though I wasn't. I didn't realize that. I mean, I was so shocked.
Yeah, Angela, really do you tend to be a person that freezes under duress?
At this time, I wasn't.
Okay.
But what happened, and I didn't realize that, and to not having sex outside of marriage has been such a strong value of mine. That I was so, I was going through some other things in my life 3 months prior.
So Angela, you found yourself in a position, I'm sorry to interrupt you, where a man, you know, was trying to force himself on you, but then he stopped.
He did force on me.
He did.
He forced himself
yes.
in me, and then he stopped.
Okay. So then.
Soon because I can't.
Then six months later,
what I did, because I didn't even register what had happened that day, but I didn't realize that when you go for something like this, sometimes you think you want to make things better by doing the wrong thing. So when I it was only like a few minutes, but when I saw this man, and I considered him still somewhat a friend. I consented to have sex, but it was literally only a few minutes, and I felt it was so wrong. And that's when I went to my. I totally went against my integrity.
Okay,
right.
So we
hear that.
Yes.
And we want to help you, and because our time's limited, let Jill try to give you some help about being in these situations, and now what do you do that these things have already happened?
Yeah, Angela, it seems like you are ending up in situations where you don't mean for this to happen, but these men are having opportunity. And so, it's hard to know the last situation if it was something that you got into and then didn't know how to stop it.
Can I explain? So then I went to my friend because I wanted to pray about it.
Okay.
I felt like I so betrayed the Lord.
All right, but hold on a second. Hold on a second. Let's deal with one thing at a time. Angela, she's talking to you about how do you get in these situations where you have to say no.
Why are you alone with these men?
Right. See,
in a place where they could take advantage of you.
Or be able to have non-consensual, if they're able to have non-consensual sex without forcing themselves physically on you, then we have to say, how did that happen? How do we prevent that happening again? Then now we talk about what are we going to do about it legally. Mm-hmm. We've talked to you about that. And then help you recover from it so that you're in a better place and not, full of shame and guilt and all of that.
That first thing I got over. It's the second and third thing that...
But Angela, what you don't understand is that it's a snowball effect. You think you got over it, but you didn't, because it's causing you to be blinded to the same types of situations. And that once someone has been abused, the abuse often repeats because you don't recognize the signs. Mm-hmm. Like, at this point, you have to make sure that you are not alone with men.
No, I got that clearly, believe me.
Okay, good.
But what happened the second time, that friend that we both loved and cared for each other deeply, but we never...
Right.
We were in a dating relationship because there were things that weren't together in his life for me to move forward with that.
Angela.
But I've always felt safe. I always felt safe emotionally. Yes.
Angela. You ask if something was rape. That was a question that you had, and we said, well, you'd have to either talk to a police officer, a prosecutor, or an attorney. Is there another specific question that you have about this?
Yes.
Okay, what is that question? What's the question?
I understand it's biblical when the person is two people of the same congregation to have a conversation with the pastor together. I want to know if it's an incident like this, we're already having flashbacks and a really hard time. Mm-hmm. Is it biblical to have not the conversation with the same person in the same room and just having... individually.
Okay. Angela, I think, first of all, I think you need to get some help from a therapist that can help to walk you through the steps. And it sounds like you're having signs of being traumatized through all
definitely.
Of this. So to have somebody that can help you think through these things, because when you're talking about being triggered by even being in the same room with him, well, then no, we don't want you to go sit with a pastor and him. Because the pastor probably is not trained to deal with what you're struggling with. And you are going to be less focused and more scattered and unable to really talk clearly. And I think that can be re-traumatizing for you. So I think your next step is, besides the support groups that you have around you, or I heard you mention people that you've asked for prayer, is to get in with a therapist that can walk you through this and get to all the nuances that you, I know, are trying to explain to us in our short, limited time.
Yeah, and we're going to try to find somebody that's
in
your
deals
area
with
that specializes in trauma. I really think there's great hope here, but you're going to have to get off of what the specific details are to here's the impact and here's what I need to do to remove that impact. I'm glad that you called, and I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. I think it's going to help you here. I hope so. Let's go to Elijah, Washington, D.C., WAVA. Elijah, how are you? How could we help you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I just had a
quick question
to ask you.
Okay.
My question is, I'm trying to find a good starting place where if your spouse has had several affairs and you just found out about it and the response has not been very remorseful. And been to counseling and all of that. So I'm trying to find a good starting place as far as moving forward.
Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave?
No,
are you going to divorce? What's the deal?
No, I said I was going to stay and work it out. But the problem has been in the place where I'm at as far as the counseling and my spouse. Everyone seems to treat it like it's a dating situation. I'm not like that. I'm struggling in that area.
It's what do you mean,
like
dating situation?
Yeah.
Explain that.
It's just like, the response has been, oh, just forget about it. Don't worry about it. I didn't even, when I was grieving.
Oh, my word.
When I was grieving.
Who told you that? Who told you to just forget about it?
The counseling sessions I went to with the counselors, and my wife has said it. And what I was trying to get them to see is that when a person does that, especially more than once, it's a character issue.
That's right.
And,
yeah.
But let me ask you this. What kind of counselor did you go to that would tell you that?
One of the pastors. I'd rather not say
a pastor.
Any names.
Oh. Okay. Well, Elijah, I'm glad that you called, because here's one thing. Your response is either going to set you up for this to happen to you again or not, right? You can't control her, but if you just act like it never happened, you're essentially saying, well, just bring it on, let it happen again.
No big deal.
But it is a big deal. You've been betrayed, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like to me that you've gone to someone with some pretty superficial advice that isn't going to help anything, and I don't know why anybody would tell you that, because you have been hurt. Now, what was the suggestion for her to get some character work done? Was there any prescription for her?
The thing is, they're not dealing with that. When I went in, and I went to three counselors, so it's not like this is the first that happened.
Well,
each time I went in, they started questioning me as to say, well, you had to do something, because women don't normally do that.
So oh, brother.
You had to do something for her to do that. And I'm like,
Sexually addicted women, actually sexually addicted women do normally do that. That's what they do.
Or attention-seeking women.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to, that's very sad. So what's your question for us then?
So I'm looking at trying to find a place, a starting place to move forward. Because what I ended up doing was, I told the counseling that we got was not anything from put it behind you, so you're going to have to find a way to stop thinking about it. You need to get over it. I was told all kinds of things. And God, in my personal time, the Lord told me that is not how you're supposed to deal with that.
Right.
And that she needed some accountability. She needed some type of accountability, because she's been living her life for years on account, you know, just doing whatever. And I've been held accountable by church leaders and everything.
All right. So this is a very extreme case and multiple affairs. So one thing you could do is you could come to our marriage intensive, and we would help you discover how to heal this and how to start over, both of you. Or you would obviously leave knowing there's no hope. And that would be a good thing to know early on, so that you're not enabling or essentially acting like it didn't happen, and then you've kind of allowed it to happen again. Dave, what are your thoughts here?
I have a hard time with them minimizing what was going on, mm-hmm. because it, mm-hmm. and don't you do the minimizing. I'm glad God spoke to you about that, mm-hmm. that it's a bigger issue than you than they're saying. But you, it's the kind of thing you really need to see a professional counselor, not a pastoral counselor, because there's some issues that are that have to be unearthed and discussed if there's going to be a chance to move forward. It requires something on the part of your wife to move forward. And you got to have somebody that's going to hold your feet to the fire, to both of you to the fire, that says if there's going to be any kind of hope of reconciliation and restoration, this needs to happen.
We'll talk about it right after this.
Most of my life I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Really glad you're with us here today. Talking with Elijah here, just a really tough situation when you've got a wife that isn't, well, I don't know, maybe she is remorseful now, I don't know, but she's had multiple affairs, and he's willing to work on it. Jill, you've got some thoughts here and some questions.
Yeah, Elijah, I'm so sorry you're going through this. It's so painful. And, you know, unfortunately, it's really typical of the person who's had the affair to not be remorseful, that somehow they feel justified, because that's how they can do it, is they somehow justify it as they are deserving of that. And mm-hmm. they will create some kind of crime, whether you've done it or not, to pin that on you. You know, whether it's not meeting your needs, they're not happy, any of those things. I think it is important for you to be heard, for you to grieve, because this is a huge loss, and to, you know, expect her to meet you in the middle to work on this. And that's one thing you need to know. Is she willing to meet you in the middle? You're not going to be able to demand that she be remorseful, but over time, that would be the goal as you move through it.
And we grow.
Yes, and you're able to be heard, and that she hears the pain that it has caused you. I think if you're trying to make her, like I said, too soon, you know, show the pain on her side, you're not going to get that. Sometimes, too, in therapy, people are trying to set, or therapists might be trying to set the crisis aside to say, well, let's look at how you got to this point. And therefore, they'll be looking at both sides of the marriage, not to let her off the hook, but to hopefully not alienate her, right? Because for some people who aren't in a remorseful position, if you pile all, you know, the bad on them, that kind of blows them out of the treatment. And so as a way of moving forward, it's looking at the marriage. And that can feel like, but wait a minute, I've had this great injustice done to me. So I think in this process, Elijah, as we always recommend, you need some supportive men around you too, mm-hmm. that you can also share your feelings to when your wife isn't as receptive, or until she is more receptive of that.
What are they going after, the pastors that you talk to? What are they going after in your behavior?
Well, they asked me questions, and I've answered all the questions. They were saying, have you ever cheated on your wife? I was like, no. And after they answered all the questions, they were like, well, you're in place of Christ. But then they don't really hold my wife accountable. It's like in the counseling sessions, they just want to forget about it and act like nothing ever happened. And let's just talk about now what you should do. But they're not addressing some of the behavior in the past that she's still doing now. Not cheating or nothing like that.
What is she still doing now?
I think they don't know how to do that.
Yeah. What is she still doing now?
Like not listening to me when I express myself about that situation, the hurt.
It's she doesn't care.
She can't tolerate hearing it, Elijah. That's what I mean. She's justified her position.
Right. They blamed it. You know, the blame was on me for doing it. She blamed me for doing it. And I said, well, that's a selfish act, so you can't blame that on me. But the thing is now, moving forward, like when I expressed my grief, like we went to a counseling session, they told me that I got to win the right as a man to be heard, right?
And no.
I was like, but I never heard.
You've gone to the wrong people, and now we want you to go to some people that can really help you with some good help. So we're going to try to get a great counselor for you. Finding Freedom, our workshop, will help you.
Right.
But look,
and the book,
you've been betrayed, and you're just as entitled to experience healing and time and grace as any woman.
Right. There shouldn't
who's ever
be a double standard
hurt.
Here.
Yeah, no double standard here whatsoever.
Right.
That's kind of the reverse of the double standard.
It is. I mean, men hurt too when they're cheated on. They hurt a lot.
Crazy.
They hurt. Right. There's
so,
a book,
so
Elijah, Surviving an Affair, that would be a good one for mm-hmm. you to get. Because, Steve, we don't have it here, right?
No. And,
but you can order it.
It does explain how, you know, every time you're together talking about how angry you are and stuff, it can become
helpful.
Destructive, but you need somebody that is understanding and has great compassion for you to hear how hurt and
that's why you need a group of men around you who can listen to you.
Right. Okay, so once again,
counselor.
I'm going to send Healing as a Choice because this is the book that I created after this all happened, and I really hope and pray that it's going to help you a lot. So hold on. We're going to get that to you. We're going to try to find a counselor. There are a lot of things you can do other than just feel guilt and shame.
And desperation.
For whatever you're going through. That's right. Let's talk to Scott. He's calling from Kitchener, Ontario, listening on Sirius XM. Hey there. How are you, Scott?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, what's going on?
I just wanted to first say thank you. I went to the Finding Freedom workshop a couple weeks ago in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
And it's helped me realize a lot of things, and I've been reading through Take Your Life Back in the Life Recovery Bible, and one question that I have is, what do I say? I've basically have had enough of my family and enough of living in denial and them just not listening to me. I come from a very toxic and dysfunctional family, and mm-hmm. I put geographical dis- distance between myself and my family because of the sexual, emotional, and physical abuse that I faced from my dad and that. And they're acting like I'm psychotic, and I was going to, unfortunately, I hate to admit this, a pastor counselor.
Hold on.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Scott here, Steve Arterburn. And, you know, right before we went off, Scott, you said you're sad to say that you went to see a pastor for counseling. Well, you know, we don't think that all pastoral counseling isn't good. In fact, we know
some really
great pastoral counselors. But it was just in that last incident there where a guy's being told this is your fault, or, you know, how did you cause this thing? That's nobody is going to benefit when that's right out of the box. But anyway, let us help you. How could we help you? I mean, you have every right to distance yourself from a family that, number one, there was so much abuse, and number two, doesn't care how you feel about all of that. That's horrible.
Right. And is willing to sacrifice you again by making you the crazy one. Okay. See, that's just more of the abuse.
And this previous pastor, like, I ended up writing a letter, and anyways, my dad threatened legal action because I'm trying to, you know, walk in healing and forgiveness and all that. So basically, like, I'm not sure how to go about saying, okay, family, enough's enough. I'm walking away. I'm going to rebuild my life. And I'm feeling partly guilty because, you know, as a Christian, you know, we're to forgive, but, you know,
forgiving doesn't mean you get along with them and let them in your life.
Now let's just talk about something. Scott, let's say, this is just horrible for me to even say it, but let's say that somebody had a pistol, they were shooting with this pistol, and let's say that they shot your dog and your dog died, okay? That'd be horrible, right? Mm-hmm. Well, as a Christian, you would be called to forgive that person. But would it be responsible? Would it be responsible for you to walk up to that person while they're still firing that pistol, while it's still loaded? No. That wouldn't be a good thing at all, would it? No. So we have to be smart. Yes, forgive. No, but
no,
when a guy is shooting you or shooting around you, that's not the time to forgive. That's the time
to run.
To what? Protect yourself, right? And that's where you are. You're saying, I need to protect myself right now from a family that not only was abusive, but now is being abusive with my reaction to it. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. So, yes, forgiveness, but forgiveness at the right time.
Well, right, but forgiveness is not trust, right?
No, forgiveness is for myself.
Right, right. You don't.
So I don't carry the resentment around.
You're not trusting them when they're still not in a place of realizing what they've done.
So you don't reconcile.
They've proved that they're not.
They have proven they're
not
trustworthy.
So I don't know, Scott, if you have to make some proclamation.
Yeah, right.
Unless you feel like you need to do that for yourself to set the boundary, you just set a boundary and you pull back.
Yeah, okay.
Right? I mean, you just start.
You decide
within yourself what you're willing to do and not willing to do.
And Scott, here's the thing. It would be normal for you who you've been abused and now you're not even acknowledged the pain. It would be a normal thing to want to make a proclamation and create something that they are going to react to.
But you're trying to get them
to care. The better wisdom is to deal with that desire and not let that rule the day. You don't need to create a moment where they're going to once again prove how sick they are.
Well, they're never going to admit to what they did.
Well, they're invested in not. They're proving that they're invested in not, and they're willing to go to any lengths.
And the more you try to get them to admit, the more invested they are in denying.
Yeah.
It's also when you just quit calling or quit showing up or things like that, it's a stronger move than to tell them you're going to do it, because that sounds like you need some attention from people that aren't very good at giving healthy attention.
Or you're hoping they'll care when they don't.
Well, I think that's part of it. I think there's part of me that's hoping, and it's like, this isn't going anywhere with my family. And I will admit, part of it is, and I've come to realize this too, my fear of being alone and compromising to be with family, just to have social life. You know what I mean?
So,
which says there's a void in your life for people outside of your family.
And now you can say, okay, here's my fear. I've got to make a bold move, a courageous move, to move in spite of fear, to create another family of supportive people, whether it's in men's Bible study, a men's support group, whatever it is, I'm going to move forward.
And that does take time. You have to show up repeatedly so people become familiar with you.
But Psalm 68:5 says that God puts the lonely in families. So he creates a new family for you. But like Jill just said, you got to show up.
So in the midst of pulling back from your family without saying anything to them, you're then trying to invest in new places so that you won't be isolated. That's really important. Can we send him my book?
Forgiving Fathers and Mothers.
Yeah, it'd be a great one for you, Scott.
I was on it. Yeah. Scott, that's going to help. I think it's going to be a great one. And I'll send you Dave's book, Forgiving What We Never Forget.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you're on this path, and I'm glad you called. And then you sound so receptive to this concept of, not having to make this proclamation.
And it's grieving.
I feel for you.
Yeah, it's grieving the hope of having them finally recognize you, right?
Sometimes these situations are more painful than if somebody just goes away and leaves altogether. I mean, here they are. You got an opportunity, and he's tied in. Nothing registers with them. They don't care.
Well, it's
so painful.
But we do know about family dynamics, right, Dave?
Yep.
That when you try to change things,
it slides right back to the way it always was.
Well, and they're going to come on even stronger to try to get you back into the old dynamic.
Yep. Well, I'm really glad you called. I'm going to send you 100 Days of Healing, that devotional. And, of course, that's the book we're giving folks for any amount. So Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers by Dr. Jill Hubbard, and then Forgiving What We Never Forget by Dr. Dave Stoop, and then 100 Days of Healing, that's the devotional book. Now, here's a letter from a listener. Listen to this. I have to write to tell you that my 14-year-old son, whom we adopted, and I listen to your show almost every day. I'm homeschooling him this year, and we're in the car a lot together. He loves to listen to your show. I use your program to teach him and put truth into his life on sex and pornography. I know sometimes your show's a little graphic for him, but I take the opportunity to point out the struggles people get themselves into by allowing sin to take root in their lives with premarital sex and pornography. We were listening to you yesterday in the car, and again, the topic was pretty graphic, but he stopped and looked at me and said, "This is good for me to hear. Maybe it will make me a better husband someday." And I said, "That's my prayer." So I'm writing to say thank you and to let you know that now you are ministering to another generation in this household. I just couldn't go another day without supporting this ministry because it's giving me another source for my kids to hear that it's not just me talking. You constantly validate what I tell them, and that is, there are reasons God gives us the commands He does. And when we obey Him, we divert a lot of pain and sorrow in our lives. So thank you, and may God bless you richly as you continue to minister to the hurting. Well, I love this letter, and I love the fact that we are reaching a new generation, and they need help. So if you want to help us, please do. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll send you 100 Days of Healing, a gift of any amount. And as we're approaching Christmas, I will autograph Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles for your child or grandchild, and we'll send it to them. That's $20 or more. We'll do that just for you. And then if you join Club New Life, I'll send you all of the 100 Days of Healing books. You know, there are so many things that we love about what we do here, and we really do love the intensives that we do on the weekends. It's just so astounding to see couples or individuals make these amazing changes in such a little time. But we also love the fact that people go to see a Christian counselor we've recommended, and that produces the transformation they're looking for. But I'll tell you something, the stories we hear about radio, just like this one, and the impact in the lives of people, it's an amazing gift that we get to be on the air, and I thank every one of you that support us, that allow us to be in the life and the heart of a mom and a 14-year-old driving down the road talking about things that might make him a better husband. That's what it's all about. We'll take a break. We'll come back for our final segment here, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we'll go to Joyce from Boston right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, and we're really glad that you are. We'll be back.
Said, "We need to talk." She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Let's talk with Joyce, Boston, Massachusetts, W-E-Z-E. Hi, Joyce. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hi.
Joyce, are you there?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Hi. Okay,
hi.
Awesome. I just want to say that I listened to you guys for years and years, and this is my first time calling, and thanks for taking my call.
Well, you're welcome.
Let me say my question first. My question. Thank you, you all. I also listen to any YouTube video that I can get to listen to your advice. I really appreciate the wisdom that you, all of you share. So my question is, what do I do that I have siblings that are controlling and oppressive? Particularly, I think I had a fallout with them last Sunday, so... And it doesn't help because I'm the only Christian in the family, so I don't want to keep going on and just kind of have this burden on my heart, just feeling very heavy.
So what caused you to be with them this past Sunday?
My family are in New York, and they decided to have a dinner together, and basically my father is dying from cancer, and my parents want to have family photo together, and so we got together for that, and we have a huge dinner after that, which is what we always do anyway when we get together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that sounds like that's a reasonable reason to be with people that aren't very healthy to be with, but you sure do want to limit the amount of time you're with them, wouldn't you think?
I do. I mean, I don't live in New York, so, and I have other siblings, so she's not the only one. But, you know, again, our father is dying, and what kind of caused the argument? Well, it's probably said that, let's put it this way, it could be construed that I started the argument. It was at a very busy restaurant, and we were talking about whether our father should have this particular treatment for his cancer. And I thought, wow, this is kind of odd to be talking in a very public place, and I couldn't even hear myself think that kind of situation. So I was frustrated, and I didn't do the research on the treatment, and I didn't know what was coming. I just didn't know that we were going to just get to the restaurant, and just it kind of went bad.
Okay, so what's the question for us, Joyce, about this unhealthy situation?
The
You're the only Christian in the group.
In the family, the entire family. My husband and I and my children are the only Christians. And So my question is what do I do? You know, that she's so controlling and
this is one sister.
Aside from the fact that I don't hang out. I'm sorry?
This is one sister that's super controlling. And she's the one that lives near your parents. Correct?
Yes. And she's basically the primary caregiver as well. So she knows a lot about my parents' medical histories and doctors and all that. And she does all the running around with them.
So she feels
entitled. How many kids do you have?
I have three kids.
How old are they?
My parents.
How old are they? How old are your kids?
My kids?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my kids are in their 20s and in their, 2019. So,
okay.
Yeah, the two oldest in their 20s and my youngest,
Joyce,
19.
We have all these people calling us all the time, and their kids that are in 19s and 20s, they need healthy parents to help them get through a really difficult time of being independent, right? So when you allow your sister to suck the life out of you and churn you up by you hanging on the phone with her, you've got less for your husband and less for your kids. And they're the priority, not any controlling, mean-spirited sibling of yours. So the question is, what do you need to do to develop the strength and courage to say, I have to go now, rather than allow that person to continue to be demeaning or manipulative or controlling or whatever it is? Do you see where I'm going with this?
Right. I understand, and I have limited my contact with her. Like, I don't hang out with her, you know, mm-hmm. for pleasure or anything. We only see each other because of mom and dad, and particularly this discussion, because
She's very controlling, and she feels entitled because she's doing so much, so she feels like she's earned the right. And it's only going to get worse, Joyce, because as parents age, excuse me, and they pass away, it brings out, you know, all kinds of feelings, unresolved stuff from childhood for all of the siblings, things that they wanted, needs to feel special and important. So you have to prepare yourself. And Steve is talking about you finding a way with your husband and your kids to minimize the negativity there, right? And to insulate yourselves, you know, with each other and other people as you move through this time. And I would wonder if the other siblings are, you know, does everybody just kind of let her be in charge because she's doing everything and nobody else wants to do anything? What are the family dynamics? Because they will get worse.
Okay.
Whatever's been the family dynamic is going to get worse. So you need to be prepared for that. And every little argument, instead of being so upset about it, you got to go, okay, there she goes again. How can I protect myself and minimize from being sucked in?
And how can I break off the conversation?
Right.
Having a set way of saying something that ends the conversation for you, and have it memorized so you can use it anytime you need it.
And a really great way is just to say, oh, I hear you. You know what? I've got to go, and so let's talk again. Boom, and we're out of there. And now you've got all of who you are for your family. I'm sending you Take Your Life Back. I hope you like it. The Secrets Women Keep, there's another really great encouraging book. I'll send that to you. And I'm really glad you called. And tell your husband we said, hey, you need him, and you need him to help you pull back and not let them take so much from you. We are just about out of time. Let me remind everybody that you might want to go to newlife.com and find out about that Rhine River cruise we're doing in 2020. It's another one of these great New Life trips. I hope you'll join us. It's really spectacular. Every Man's Battle starts tomorrow in Orange County. And, you know, it's not too late for you to get in. We always have a little extra room for the last minute, folks. Wouldn't that be amazing for you to start doing that tomorrow? And then this Thanksgiving is amazing. It's different than it's ever been. You've got purity, integrity, honesty, all of that to bring with you. Intimacy in Marriage is going to be February the 14th. What a great thing when you tell your wife, I'd like us to go to this. I think we could benefit from it. Or you tell your husband, maybe this could be the least that you could do ever for us. How about Restore? If you've been hurt by someone who has a sexual integrity problem and you're a woman, we'll help you with that. Finding Freedom's the 24th of July. We love you. We want to send you a thank you for supporting us. It's 100 Days of Healing. It's amazing. Don't forget Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles. I'll address it and autograph it to the child you love. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop. Thank you, Jill Hubbard. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call
us. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.